listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. Calgary, the boys on the big show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
He's helped turn this franchise around here in the last few years and speeding up the process. And I think, you know, it's well deserved. You know, I think for years to come, I don't think you could ask for a better leader in the game to help lead your franchise.
Matt Stajan, you know, you can put him in the category of likes the Geo deal. That category seems to be full of a lot of check marks. I think generally, across the board, in and outside the boundaries of Calgary, most people are looking at this deal and giving it the thumbs up, which maybe you would expect. Of course, we all reserve the right to change our minds immediately upon something going wrong that we don't like or like.
What are you suggesting?
I'm just saying. We will replay the conversation with Mark Giordano's agent, Rich Winter, which was fascinating. For a couple of reasons, Bruce, because you know how these stories get written. There's a lot of people kind of interjecting their thinking. This must have caused that. But you talked yesterday about the drop in the Canadian dollar and what impact that actually physically makes. And then the agent to come in and go, no, that was it.
It was a big deal.
And he kind of, you know, walked us right through it. Mm. So I really enjoyed that. Rich is not shy. Rich is not, you know, you get Rich on, you ask him a question, you get an answer. I thought it was a fantastic interview. We're going to replay it in about an hour's time.
Good stuff there.
Which is nice because we had the GM, we had the player, and now we got the agent. So you really got all the particulars involved in this, right?
And there's a nice part in it. I don't want to give it away because I want people to listen again. But he talked about, you know, moments in which, you know, the game has changed. And he says, I walk into a negotiating session with the Chicago Blackhawks in a hotel room and there's 10 guys there.
Well, yeah, you brought that up. And that's something, you know, I've talked about all the time, and I, you know, many times when you're not here, I will run you down. But when you were here and you're looking at me, I do tend to say nice things to your face. But I've never forgotten a conversation you and I had during that lockout of 04-05, where, you know, it was imminent. The salary cap was coming, right? And that was going to be, you know, some people said it's going to be shoved down their throats, and some of us said, no, thank God it's finally here. And your point was, okay, but that's not going to let the big money teams, they're not just going to, you know, sit on that money. They'll spend it elsewhere. They'll spend it in brain power.
And Rich is the first guy to say that I've heard say publicly, most people will acknowledge it privately, but he said publicly, this is an advantage for the big teams. He said he talked about one team. He wouldn't mention which one, but they sent one scout to the combine, one scout. How can you compete if the Maple Leafs have 12 guys there examining everything?
But for a while there, weren't the Buffalo Sabres toying with video scouting? They didn't actually have,
there was that too, trying to save money.
They were just using videotape to scout
trying
and things like
money.
That. Yeah.
But the intangible of being there and seeing a guy live and getting a sense of the dynamic of how he moves or how he shoots or whatever, I mean, you can't replace it. I think video is
important.
Well,
you remember yesterday I was trying to get a statue of Brad Tree Living built, erected in downtown at the Olympic Square, and we would have a holiday in his name. You know, I was getting ahead of myself after that, 1 year.
The statue with you sort of holding on to his ankles.
Yeah. No, my point is, I think Brad Tree Living has done a nice job in his first year.
And Rich said the same.
Okay. One of the things that I wonder if we sat down and talked to Brad, how much being kind of a jack of all trades and a Mr. Everything for the Coyotes, because that is not a big staff.
Yep.
How much that, you know, kind of fast tracks him. Now, it would be the individuals, right? You get the wrong guy. He comes here. Now you've got resources. I'm going to put my feet up on the desk. Yeah. Other guys can do this. That's not the MO of Tree Living, but I wonder how much.
Or else you're a guy who's used to doing everything and you can't go to a bigger place and let other people do their work. Then you're not a delegator.
Right.
Then you're hands on everything.
Right.
And Rich makes the point in the interview about his background, not just with the Coyotes, but also in the, I believe, in the Central League in terms of running the Central League, in terms of getting buildings built, et cetera.
He has a diverse. Oh, yeah. He started the Western Professional Hockey League.
Diverse experience.
Yeah. So I appreciate the conversation. We will play it in its entirety coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Programming note, we talked earlier this week, you and I, and I don't want to take credit for this. It's more just coincidental than anything, about, okay, so here's Calgary next. Here's the Calgary I apologize, Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation. I want to call it the Flames all the time, but it's the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation.
Because they're more than the Flames now.
Right. Here is their vision. Mm-hmm. You and I both said on, you know, on Monday, and I would much rather be to the point where we're talking about how many TVs or how many bars there are in the building, where's mm-hmm. the, you know, where's the dressing rooms and all that. That's not where we're at. They're selling a, promoting, in introducing a vision. Tomorrow, Ken King will be in, and it's hopefully the start of a series. I know we're looking at doing one in the afternoon next week, just getting that confirmed up. But tomorrow, Ken King, between 7 and 8 in this studio, I will be with him answering, well, putting people on the air, because what we really want, and I think you and I both agree, one of the necessary processes in this is it has to go through the public. The mm-hmm. public have a got, and I'm not saying this is the be-all, end-all. I'm just saying this is an opportunity for us to take our audience and say, here is the guy, ask your questions.
Right.
You've read, everybody's had opinions. People in Toronto writing for the Globe and Mail have editorialized. God love them, and I respect the hell out of them. Mark Spector up, mm-hmm. you know, for Sportsnet. He's written about it. You've read about it in the Herald and the Sun, and you've heard about it on other radio stations. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What's going through your mind? What's the question you have that you want to ask, you know, Ken King about? That's what tomorrow will be about.
It's always easier to be cold-eyed about something in somebody else's hometown. I'm not saying that as an insult to anybody.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Because
the
emotion isn't tied up. And when we sit here and talk about it, and again, you know, I'm not carrying water for the Flames, but there's an emotional aspect to this for me that I think, because I live in this city, which is that there's going to be a new arena, probably a new football stadium. What are they? If this isn't it, what is it going to be? Because
right.
we're on a path to getting to somewhere.
Yep.
And I kind of feel like we thought we were here in 2005. We'd started a process, and now we don't seem much further.
A decade later.
There's a wall of creosote separating us from the next step, maybe.
Right.
But anyhow, let's get this thing on. Let's get the discussion going. Let's find out as soon as we can whether this is a viable site and move on. And also for the people who oppose it, what do you want for your city? Do you want them to be no stadium? Do you want them to stay in the Saddle Dome until mm-hmm. it's like Wrigley Field and it's, you know, et cetera? Mm-hmm. Is that what you want? Get that out on the table, because yeah. it's not practical.
My hope would be that over whatever period of time it's going to take to get to an end, and I don't know, is resolution the right word? I don't know.
Sure.
Is it a resolution, or is it to the end point? Because to me, it's the process is just beginning. I would hope that at some point the mayor's office would take us up on an offer to do the same thing.
Right.
You know, as we go through this, we're going to find opportunities. We're going to find challenges. I would hope.
Well, the thing that vexes me about the City Hall response is that, A, I am totally for them being prudent with money. Frankly, they don't have any money to throw around particularly.
Right.
They have some money in they're putting aside, et cetera, but they haven't really got any money to throw. So I don't mind them being prudent. But what is their vision? Does the mayor and do the opponents of this project have another vision? Why don't they come forward and say, well, here's what we think it should be.
Right.
Does he think the mayor think they should stay at this again at the Saddle Dome till it's like Wrigley Field?
Mm-hmm.
If not, what's his concept of how this would work?
Mm-hmm.
Give us your vision. Now, he may say, well, it's none of my business. Well, hey, you're big on being Mr. No. Give us some idea what your vision would be for an arena and a complex that benefits this town here. You're Mr. Artsy guy. I know you're not a big sports guy. That's okay. There's no problem with that. But give us your vision.
Once again, tomorrow from 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning, Ken King and I, taking your phone calls.
Oh, I'm so angry.
And we believe we're also going to do it next week in the afternoon. As I say, my hope is that we get all the particulars around the table at some point and allow people to ask. And again, this is not intended to be the be-all, end-all. It's just intended to be the first step. And I would hope that there's, you know, far more opportunities for the public to be involved. But at least we were talking about it on Monday. Here it is tomorrow, Thursday. It seems like wheels are in motion.
Well, and to me, the fact that they feel they have to continue this process says to me that maybe they didn't get all the bang they wanted out of their buck last week in terms of the community impact, that they really, you know, they feel like they have to talk some more to promote what their vision is. I don't think they sold – what I said was I don't think they sold their vision particularly well last week.
But they couldn't
to
have,
me.
To you, okay.
Considering how many years we've been anticipating
But you did not assume a launch that would have answered all your questions and would have tied them all up in a neat little bow and said, it's over, thank you very much, let's move on to the next. To me, this has been inevitable.
I could have seen a discussion of things about you know, what arena projects in other cities that we're using as our source, blah, 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 what we're going to do. You know, I don't need to know the position of the TVs, but I just thought after all these years that it still was really kind of, to use a big word, ethereal, a little airy-fairy. Like, you know, we didn't have that many things we could grab onto.
Right.
And in their defense for the Flames, they haven't had a partner, a dance partner on the other side of this equation from the governments. To get too specific with the provincial and the city government,
I think they've got some partners.
Haven't engaged.
I think they had a ward person, and they had the deputy mayor there for the presentation.
There are supporters.
There are
council.
Supporters, and there are detractors. To your point, my hope was that they stood up and said, "Hey, we got all the here's the packaging, here's the financing. This is how it's going to work. We're moving ahead." That's not what it was. To me, it's about the vision, as I've said to you before. So. Mm-hmm. I'm not disappointed at this process at all. This is what I expected you'd have to go through. You have to vet it.
Yeah.
It has to be vetted.
Oh, sure.
Right?
But I thought there would be more detail to be vetted, I guess is what I'm saying. But I'm hard to please.
No, you're hard to please. You're definitely hard to please.
I'm hard to police, too, but that's another story.
Another programming note for tomorrow. The Toronto Blue Jays, who were taking on the Texas Rangers tonight, came from behind win yesterday in the ninth inning. Picked up a win. They got a little help from the Astros yesterday. They're getting a little more help from the Astros today. Top of the ninth, and Houston's up on the Yankees 6-2. The Jays will be in action to finish off their series against the Rangers tomorrow. We're going to carry it for you beginning at noon. Noon.
So we're not on the air at 1.
We're not on the air at 1. My guess is we're not on the air at 2. We
could
are on
rain.
The yeah, could.
But I don't think there's rain in the forecast.
Oh, okay.
This time of the year, no.
No, but it could rain. Could go to extra innings.
We might not get on the air at all. 18 innings.
Right.
But if we do get on the air, what's happening?
We are taking the opportunity. A good friend of mine, Ken Babby, who is the head coach of the Canadian Sledge team. And now, you know, Bruce, because we were down there earlier in August, Hockey Canada held its summer showcase at Winsport. Mm-hmm. And now the sledge hockey program rolls in for their development camp. It's underway. So they've invited us down tomorrow to... go down. We're going to go down there, but we're going to hopefully do something a little different too. I'm going to try it, and hopefully we're going to do that while you're on the air and I'm on the air. I'll be on the air talking to you while I'm trying sledge hockey for the first time.
I'm doing play-by-play?
No, because I'm down there.
Right. No, I'm doing play-by-play of you doing this.
I don't think it's that as much as it is an ongoing conversation.
I'm afraid of getting hurt.
Have you ever done this?
These guys are good.
Have you ever played sledge?
No.
Have you ever tried it?
Well, I've seen it.
It's nasty at times.
I saw the rugby, the wheelchair rugby, Paralympic, Paralympic.
That ain't for the faint of heart.
No.
Neither.
And these guys go at it full tilt.
Right. Yeah. So,
Happy you're doing it.
Looking forward to it, yeah. So you and I are going to be down at Winsport tomorrow.
You're covered
for that.
By the Rogers insurance, health insurance plan.
I'm sorry, what? The what now?
The Rogers health insurance plan.
First time hearing of it.
Well, you say out there in the lobby, there's the thing with the Band-Aids in it. Take one if needed.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the health insurance
plan.
So
that's what you're saying. Yes, that is our health plan. Bang on that. So there you go. So Ken King tomorrow, 7 to 8, with yours truly taking calls. Thanks to Ryan and Lou for allowing us that window in their program. The Jays at noon, and then Bruce and I live from Winsport tomorrow afternoon. Retroactively, I would just like to go back and take a moment and thank DeQuinn Evans from the Calgary Stampeders, who came on, and he told his story yesterday, and we played it in the 5 o'clock hour. First of all, the response by the listeners on the text line and other places was phenomenal. People really appreciated someone having the courage to stand up and tell their story and tell their, you know, the mistakes they've made in life and how they've learned from them and how they've inspired them and the impact that they've had. And, you know, I'm not saying we live in a perfect society or anything like that, but it's, you know, the troubles that we have in Calgary are, you know, our own, and certainly in Los Angeles and Compton, they have a different set, and those are probably a little bit more well-known thanks to, you know, Hollywood and other places, and to hear a guy talk about being a Crip, and, you know, at 12 years old, going into jail for the first time, being, you know, handcuffed and chained and having a muzzle on at a hearing while his mother's there, that's a little bit raw, and I thought DeQuinn did an amazing job of sharing it and turning it into a positive, and hopefully it's inspirational. If you missed it, I encourage you to go check it out. It's on audio on demand, and You know, I've talked about this, Bruce. We had Jason Mackey on earlier in the week talking about, you know, Sidney Crosby going and hanging out with him. You're an author. You wrote a book with Grant Fuhr. You're writing one with Greg Zahn. You've done other, you know, biographies of people. And you and I both know this only works, that form only works if the person is willing to be honest and willing to talk about the good and the bad. But boy, when it's honest and raw, there's nothing better, is there?
Well, that was my big question when I took on the Grant Fuhr assignment, was that, you know, Grant, in my experience as a journalist, had always been a notoriously bad interview. And to a large extent, Grant was deliberately being, you know, not forthcoming.
Right.
And I thought, well, how am I going to get 10,000 words, let alone 60 or 70,000 words with him? But at the moment when we started talking about it, and this relates, of course, back to our top 10 sports moments, the goal in off the goalie pads from Steve Smith, when he got to that point and his dad had passed away a couple of weeks before that, and you're sitting with another human being and he's just trying to find words.
Right.
And you can see his eyes are misting and he's just trying to find words.
Yeah.
That's great in this business because you know you're really getting the honest guy and that's when you share the humanity with them. And hopefully the book reflects that too.
Yeah. And then
interesting guy.
We certainly got that yesterday in the conversation with DeQuinn. So again, if you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to head on over to our website and on demand and you can listen to it there. We'll take a break. A lot to do this afternoon. Rob Volman will join us at 4:45 for our Hockey Abstract segment. He will break down the Mark Giordano contract from an analytical standpoint. As well, in the 5 o'clock hour, very pleased to have members of the Calgary Inferno joining us in studio. It's a big weekend for them. All of a sudden, things getting a little hectic in the old women's top-end hockey league. The CWHL has been there for a while. Now another league, a rival league, starting up. As women's athletics have certainly on the rise here, a very successful Women's World Cup in Canada this year. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn saying that you can make a legitimate case that Ronda Rousey is arguably the biggest athlete in mixed martial arts and one of the biggest athletes in the world right now. Things have come a long way for female athletics. I'm not sure they're where they need to be yet, but it's been busy this summer. Absolutely.
I think the performance by some of the teams at the Pan Am Games this summer reminded us of that again. And now we're seeing the World Track and Field Championship, the drama of that.
Yeah. We, by the way, are going to be doing a very special partnership with Kidsport. We booked up Shanks McLeod Trail South for September 8th, and we're going to do, I think it's pretty cool. We're going to do a pool with an NFL fantasy pool that will benefit Kidsport. $30 gets you in. One loser per week is out. One winner at the end of the season, and that winner will also get half the entry fees. The other half goes to Kidsport. Winner also gets a $7,500 garage makeover from Trail Appliances and Gladiator Garage Works. Very excited to hook up with Kidsport, a great organization that helps kids play all kinds of sports in our city. Kidsport, so all kids can play. Make sure you clean out your garage before you come on down on the 8th of September. Dig out that gently used sporting goods. We will donate it to Kidsport so the kids can play. You can bring it to Shanks. You can also bring it to Trail Appliances between September 8th and 14th. Kidsport Calgary Football Survival Pool, live from Shanks Sports Grill, Tuesday, September 8th, right here on your home of the NFL, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
NHL, CFL, NFL, MLB, NLL, WHL, and lots more letters. We cover them all. Sportsnet 960, The FAN. Calgary, the boys on the big show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's definitely growing, the rivalry, for sure. I think, and I think it'll continue, especially if we keep climbing like we did last year, and if the Oilers can take the next step, there's going to be a growing rivalry and hopefully get it back to like it was in the 80s here.
Matt Stajan, now follow the logic here, on radio in Toronto today talking about the Battle of Alberta. But I think we all agree.
Well, they got nothing to talk about in Toronto but hockey. It's them in Ottawa. Snore City.
Yeah, I guess so. The potential. I another thing that I tend to kind of hold back a little bit is the excitement for the potential of what the Battle of Alberta could be. You wrote about the top 10 sporting events in Calgary history, and your list that you compiled. There is a Battle of Alberta component to that.
Yep.
We have a. It's it's one of those things that sometimes I think we are, you know, just like fans in the media in a way that we have hyped it and tried to get ahead of it and tried to make it out to be, and it just hasn't been. You know, Connor McDavid and the changes they made off the ice, yeah, things are, you know, look good for Edmonton, but they still have to put them into motion. Here, you know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. You know, are the Flames this year's Colorado? You know, the Toronto 2 years ago. The Flames still have to go out and prove that they can.
Yeah.
You know, they have to prove that last year or the last 18 months, as we talked about, haven't been a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, oh boy, would it be nice to get a battle. Now, the one area we do seemingly have the potential for a battle of Alberta, or have had a battle of Alberta, would be in football. But even then.
That's what's kept it alive.
Right.
We haven't had a series.
But even that hasn't.
Two.
But that hasn't been that great either.
Not lately, no. One team up, one team down, all the time. Well, the Stamps have never really been down. It's mostly the Eskimos who've decided to take a hiatus from being competent.
Especially in their own building.
Yeah.
Right.
Up until last week, I thought I was really looking forward to the home and home, but they kind of got waxed a little bit last week, and one's starting to think that maybe there's some problems up in the green and gold.
I asked Ian Busby that, because that was a kicking that they took at the hands of the Hamilton Tiger Cats up at Commonwealth.
Wasn't it grand?
Now they get Toronto this week, right? Yeah.
Toronto's in.
They're a handful, right?
Yeah.
You know, to me, I still think it's going to be, it has the potential for being a good series. And
well, I hope so. I hope, I mean.
The CFL can use it right now, Bruce.
They could use just about anything.
Right?
It's real. Well, there are a couple of good news stories. The emergence of the Tiger Cats, and in particular, Zach Collaros.
Yep.
We now have a couple or three young quarterbacks around the league, maybe four, who are guys who we can sort of hang our hat on going forward, because it's a quarterback league. If they're healthy and they survive, you know, there's something. But, yeah, there's a lot of negative stuff going on until next year when Toronto gets into their new stadium. And it's we'll see how the back-to-backs go at Labor Day. I'm hoping that we get a little passion.
Yeah, I mean, I like the matchup, if nothing else, in the coaching ranks. Because
a little passion, a little running.
And, you know, even last year we saw Chris.
How's your passion game?
Well, we, yes. You know, Chris Jones certainly did his part for the rivalry,
yes.
You would hope. But the two teams will get into it. But again, Calgary dominant, won four games, including the playoff game last year.
Yeah.
Which is too bad, because it almost sounds like I'm sitting here stumping for the Eskimos. Ah, just come on and win some games. I'd rather the Stampeders be successful, but just for whatever reason, they have the Eskimo. We had Ed Hervey, the general manager, on this year as kind of a preview of the season, and Ed was fantastic. He was great. And then just kind of asking the question about, you know, how do you view Calgary? You know, is that your rival? Is that your benchmark? No, like any other team. They're like any other team. Yeah. We don't look at one team any different. Come on.
Yeah, really? Honestly?
Right? Honestly?
When you're selling tickets to the games, the Calgary game is just the same as the Ottawa game? Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Come on, Ed.
I'm not sure.
You're saying that because you don't want to get your butt kicked and then say this is the biggest game of the year and then get your butt kicked, and how do we explain that to the fans?
I'm a little bit leery about asking this question. You played the Matt Stajan interview, right?
Yes, we had some of it.
Our good friends at Sportsnet, because this ran in Toronto, so they paid very close attention to it.
Yes.
Apparently there's a headline at Sportsnet that says Flames plan on getting in McDavid's head.
Mm.
Do you know anything about this? Was Matt Stajan putting... Oh, we didn't?
We didn't use that part.
Did Matt Stajan put a bounty on his head?
Well, as you know, Matt, and he's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Well, when I think of vicious vengeance seekers, Matt.
I'm a little bit concerned that we might have had the attack of the headline writers again, that we might have got a little ahead of ourselves.
Well, it'll be interesting to see the whole McDavid.
Well, do
thing
we have that? Can we find that part? Did we hear that part?
We heard parts of it. I mean, he talked about the Battle of Alberta. And
we just played that clip. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that half of the interview ran.
But did he put a bounty on McDavid?
Wouldn't say a bounty, no.
Would he probably, in typical Matt Stajan fashion, said he's a really good hockey player and we hope to compete hard against him and we think we can be successful.
You know what? It's exciting, to tell you the truth. I think we hope the Edmonton Oilers get as much attention as possible. I think, obviously, McDavid's a special player. I've never seen him play, but you hear things, you see him on TV. I think all the rookie tournament games in Penticton have been sold out already, and he's probably the reason for that. So there's definitely a lot of hype, and you feel it for sure within the province. But, you know, Calgary is such a supportive city for the Flames, and that's kind of what we feel. And it makes the rivalry exciting. I think, you know, maybe nationally the Oilers, and, you know, they've had a lot of top three picks, first overall pick, so there's a lot of hype, and there has been the last few years. So, it, you know, going into those games, it's you know, it's a challenge for us to make sure we prove to everybody that, you know, we're the real deal and we're the ones you should be talking about. So it's definitely growing, the rivalry, for sure, I think, and I think it'll continue, especially if we keep climbing like we did last year, and if the Oilers can take the next step. There's going to be a growing rivalry, and hopefully get it back to like it was in the 80s here, because, you know, that was some fun hockey for the fans, and you hear about it all the time. And I think, you know, that will happen with you know, the direction that both teams are going in.
It was a pretty mild threat.
Clearly, Will. Clearly, he had to have said something else. You don't write a headline that says Flames want to get into McDavid's head based on that, right?
Yeah, I think that might
We're one step away from that Chief Punk. Yeah, no, this isn't Reg Dunlop, you know, on the radio putting a bounty on a guy, right?
Right. Or it's not, you know, Robert Griffin III talking about people.
Oh, nobody cares about that. They only want Slapshot references in this case. Slapshot references. Right?
Right.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head. Chief Punk. Now, that's what I wanted. Well, did we get that, Will? Is that anywhere in there?
Michael Ferland, maybe when they get his contract signed, he might come up with a couple.
Well, hopefully BX has figured out his name by now. At least BX was trying, right? Like, God love him. He's too slow for that series, but he's trying.
Just call him Bieska, like everyone else.
Yeah, he's trying, whatever his name is.
Bieska in San Jose.
We're not worried about. Yeah, exactly. We're not worried about him.
It's okay, Kevin. They had those pretty uniforms down there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those nice teal uniforms.
I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a threat, and they weren't whipping it up. But as you know, you've got to have a playoff series to get the rivalry back.
That's what I was just going to say, right, Bruce?
And apropos, because we're always supposed to bring this back to where we started and the top 10 list.
Yeah.
One of the games, of course, is the last time that those two teams played a series against each other.
What is that date?
That's 1991.
Wow.
And who'd have thunk?
1991, the last time.
When that was on, people thought it was a permanent feature of the NHL.
It really was, right? It was a rite of passage.
And if I remember correctly, I think the Flames had the better record than the Oilers that year. They were a better team, and they were expected to win. And then, of course, they get the Game 7 back in Calgary, just where they want them. And sorry,
Will, did you find it?
No, I was just saying 91 was a great year.
Oh, 91 was a great year.
Yeah.
Clearly,
Until the end.
He was born that year.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah, he's a 91 birth date.
So the Flames went into labor, and you were the product.
Yeah, that's...
Holy mackerel.
Have we found
a melon your size? Your poor mother.
Have we found it? I met his mother. She's a wonderful person.
That's a wonderful block? Person. Trying to push out that
does
cinder
not
block?
Look anything like him.
Well, thank goodness.
No. Anything close?
No, I think that was the closest thing we got to a threat.
So how does Sportsnet then write a headline, Flames try to get in the head of Connor McDavid?
Well, let me get that source again.
All right. Well, no, because if you go there,
stage and enjoying Blue Jays fever in Alberta, it says.
No. Right. Look, okay, sorry.
Oh, there are Flames. Will Flames try to? It didn't say Flames would.
Oh, okay.
See, now you're mixing up headlines, Rob.
I apologize to Sportsnet.
I
really do.
You know where the threat probably came?
Yeah.
Now that I think of it?
What?
It was probably in one of Ben Ennis's 3-minute questions.
Oh, no.
I think that's where the threat came. So, like, you play against Edmonton, okay, and that's a big rivalry. Right. And you guys have been a rivalry, and Wayne Gretzky, and 2 minutes later.
Smart
and
ass.
And, of course, you know. And there'd be a real, you could get into Connor McDavid's head, and what do you think of this? And then I'll answer that question, and then we'll get around here.
Will the Flames try to play head games with McDavid? And then all this is a link to the interview with Matt Stajan, right?
In which Matt does what Matt does, which is he doesn't rustle feathers.
No.
Ruffle feathers.
Or rustle them either. Chris will, but not Matt. I was going to get there before you did.
Rustle some cows.
Yeah. When do you want to, do you want to talk about your article or you want
now or whenever you want? This is your this
well
is your
no
automobile.
I mean you brought it up and really
we did
so
it
Will,
about an
Will
hour
was,
ago
all right no it's fine we don't have to do it
we can talk about what you want to talk about.
No, I want, well, I, you know,
you mentioned, okay, yeah, but let's cut to the chase. You mentioned the top 10 moments in Calgary sports
you
history.
Wrote
I arbitrarily
you
sat
wrote
down.
For our website,
yes,
the top 10 sports history moments in Calgary.
Yeah.
Okay. We can come back to it later too. I like, and by the way, I'm really excited because the first line to mark the return of I Don't Like Mondays here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan website. So are you writing your I Don't Like Mondays column on Sportsnet 960 The Fan's
website? We're going to try to do Periodic stuff, yes.
Here you're saying to mark the return of.
Yes.
So why would you play coy with me? You put it in this article that you are.
Hang on.
And I'm asking you, giving you an opportunity, and you're playing coy.
Can the best way I can answer that
yes,
is
sir.
I'm dealing with the Rocket on this.
Okay.
So now you know why we're in kind of an indefinite sort of mode.
Checks in the mail. Coming out of headquarters.
We're working on
right?
it.
Right? Okay.
We're working on it.
So anyhow. Of course, I don't like Mondays.
I miss it, too. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to do and to sort of take the pulse of the city on a weekly basis.
Yes.
And I give credit to my friend Tom Maloney, who was the sports editor at the time, for suggesting it that I do that. And it worked out for a lot of people.
And, quite honestly, I don't think there's enough pop culture references to the Boomtown Rats.
No.
Right?
No.
So, anyway, I digress.
I'm soft-pedaling that today because we have other events today which – I don't want to get into I Don't Like Mondays in the background of that story, that song.
Yeah, fair enough. Much. Yeah, yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Some other time I'll talk about that.
I understand
that. But so you're talking about the last time these two teams played a playoff series.
Right.
And I just watched the highlight the other day, and I'd forgotten how bad Messier's pass was. And I guess Mess in those days was in his I'm a legend, don't you know who I am phase.
Mm.
And they're in overtime in game six in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Everyone's anticipating the Oilers putting the hammer down. Beating the Flames in Edmonton.
Right.
And sure enough, he just threw it across the rink. And
right.
Theo was there. Of course, Theo's small.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he didn't see him hiding behind. Jamie McCown was there during the Berlin Wall thing. He couldn't see him.
Yeah.
It was the best breakaway pass I could ever imagine, except it went the other way.
Tape to tape.
And then, of course, down the ice.
One of the most iconic celebrations in the history of hockey, correct?
Yeah. And in the
spinning
city.
Across the logo.
Had they won the Stanley Cup that year?
Yeah.
This would probably be number one.
That moment?
Yeah, that moment as symbolic of that playoff run,
okay.
If they won the Stanley Cup. To me, that's where I would have placed it.
Okay.
Because you had a moment, there were lots of great moments, obviously, in 89.
Right.
But as a visual moment, that was a fantastic
one. Right.
And there's a lot of debate afterwards. Did he rub it in? What was he doing? There were a lot of guys around the league not happy with it. Mm-hmm. Again, this is 91. You know, we're not into the hot dogging.
Oh, No, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Oiler fans were pissed.
Hated it.
Oh, yeah. He was
hated
public
it.
Enemy number one. But that's what a rivalry is supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's number 10. That's number 10 on the list.
Okay.
You want to go through them?
Well, no, we can come back to it.
I was hoping that you would disagree with a couple.
Well, that's the thing, but apparently somebody really disagrees with one, Will, right?
Yeah, we talked about all 10 in the 1 o'clock hour, Bruce,
yeah.
And somebody was shocked.
Shocked
that none of your 10 moments included Calgary's own Kaylee Humphries.
Another great suggestion. Another great suggestion. And I would put her in the honorary mention thing there.
Right.
I could easily flip her for Kyle Schufelt, perhaps, who I put in there. I guess my only thing would be that's a sport that we've done really well in over the years.
Right.
And Schufelt was a totally out of the blue, a total outlier.
Not expected.
To get a gold medal in gymnastics.
Kaylee's dominant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? No, listen, very dominant.
Yep,
but it's
yep.
a sport we've done well in, and it's a short history. They haven't been in the Olympics that long in the event.
See,
and,
to me, know. And this is just coming from the outside, is it's that whole idea of Calgary moments.
Right.
Right? That
a Calgary person or something that happens
exactly.
here.
Exactly. And when I read it, because I told you, I was like, what do you mean, Ken? Oh, no. You got to read the first word, dummy. Calgary's Ken Reed.
Yeah.
And when I read the title, I go, oh, these would have been things that either happened here or involved teams, and I don't know why I would say teams, but not people. Oh, no, not people. So I can, you know, I wondered about when I read, you know, Ken Reed, is that a Calgary moment or is that a Canadian moment?
It's both.
Yes,
it's
I agree.
Both, but he was
same
the
thing
guy.
With Kyle Schufelt, right? Is that a Calgary moment or a Canadian moment?
Both.
And you're the author. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that that's your interpretation as the author, right? Mm-hmm. Of, you know, clearly born in Calgary.
Yeah.
Didn't matter that it didn't take place in Calgary. It involved a Calgarian.
And
right?
when you think of the obstacles to somebody winning a gold medal in men's gymnastics at the Olympic level and coming from our little burg here at the foot of the mountains,
mm-hmm.
with no tradition of it in the sport in the country,
mm-hmm.
no tradition of the sport in the city,
mm-hmm.
beyond maybe just a basic level, to do that, that's a fantastic accomplishment.
The one thing that...
There are a bunch of Olympians who have done the same thing, and if they feel insulted by that, I apologize
right.
to them because I honor the Olympians as much, if not more so, than other people.
Right.
So for Kaylee, I've slighted her.
That's the inherent risk in writing a top 10, right?
Yeah.
You can cover everything off if you write a top 1,000.
Yes.
You know, you can probably blanket it pretty good with a top 100. But when you get down, you got to make some tough calls, right?
Yeah. Well, so what?
Oh, were the Hitmen in 99, right?
Winning everything, looking like they were going to the final game, going to the final of the Memorial Cup and losing there. First of all, they lost, and secondarily, as I say, a bunch of the guys from that team that were supposed to become star hockey players, Pavel Brandl kind of guys, and none of them ever really panned out.
Right.
Chris Beach was another one.
Yeah.
They were all supposed to be NHL stars, and they just never panned out. So I guess for me, that took it out of the top 10. It made some moments that's worth talking about.
So, I mean, and Bruce, I don't want to attack you. What I want to do is just get some...
Several Stampeder Grey Cups that I didn't get in there.
Sure, sure.
That would have been important. Certainly Pee Wee Smith's punt return that almost changed the culture of this, the Stampeders in the early 90s from
the also-rans and, you know,
Wally
to a
Buono
dominant
coming
team.
To town and doing that, all that stuff.
Yeah. What were the types of things that went into your decision-making process? In terms of, did these need to be broad events? In terms of popularity or notice or recognition?
I had a dartboard.
Okay.
And that was about scientific.
You just flung them at the old dartboard.
No, I had about 15 different things that I considered.
Okay.
And then I whittled them down to 10.
Right.
And there were some hard decisions as to what should go in and what shouldn't go in.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, in the case of the 89 series, when the Flames won, was there another moment in that run that was maybe the key moment that was more important than the final one, et cetera?
Right.
But for Calgarians, that was the great moment. And while he wasn't the star of the game, the picture of Landy McDonald celebrating in that game is an iconic photo that everyone in the city knows and remembers.
Yeah, it's kind of like we were talking about with Theo celebrating before. Everybody knows that, where he's almost running.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
so that's it. And we're a young city. I mean, if we're 100 years old, we're barely 100 years old. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I've left out some oarsmen and some people from the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't much here for a while.
Right.
And I suppose somebody could also make an argument that I missed on some people, maybe with the Stampede, maybe some rodeo people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's been some rodeo people that deserve to be in there as well, because the Stampede is part of our city culture. Maybe
absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, I don't know it as well. And I don't know if there was a moment that galvanized the city. One of the local people, I'm sure your friends down at the Stampede could probably tell me two or three. In my ignorance, I don't know about.
Yeah. No, you would have been really interesting if you went with one of the stock animals. And there have been some world champions. I mean, there have been some dominant horses
bulls,
and bulls that have come out of this area that, you know, I wouldn't have put them in there, but you can appreciate everybody's kind of got a vested interest in this and in the impact.
Yeah.
One of the things that kind of intrigues me is the lack of, I mean, number two is the Olympics, right?
The opening ceremonies.
There's
the
not
Olympics.
A lot of events per se. Mm-hmm. It's more teams and individuals outside of the Olympics. You know, it's not like we held the greatest Breyer or, you know, the most dominant, you know, Canadian indie or even a big time golf. You know what I mean? Like, there's other places that could probably
chosen some Calgary curlers,
right?
Too, you know,
look up at Edmonton, and you know, Edmonton, they don't have anything quite as big as the Olympics, but they have the Commonwealth Games, they have the World Track and Field Championships. They have a history of doing these kind of big events that haven't really. We don't have that as much here.
I wasn't here for the 88 Olympics. I was supposed to cover them, didn't get out here for whatever. Oh, I know what it was. I was at CBC at the time, and of course CTV got the rights, so we didn't come out here.
Right.
But my understanding at the time is that it was a watershed moment for the city.
Yeah.
It was a moment at which the can-do thing, they came out of the shock of the NEP had been around for a bunch of years. I think a lot of people looked at it as a way to rebuild the confidence of the city. While oil recovered, et cetera. I think it was a really important bridge moment for the city, from what I understand.
But where you do have a perspective that I think lends itself to this is the fact that you grew up in Montreal and saw what the 76 games did to cripple that city.
I saw the other side of the coin.
Right, and this was the other side of the coin. I mean, here we are in 2015, and the legacy is still tangible. The leg is. I was just at Winsport today watching kids do their summer camps on the hills and around the the areas that we used that were prime event areas, right?
Winsport, COP, the Nikiski Ski.
Right. We're talking about a building that was a huge part of that might need to be replaced now, right? But
and you go to Montreal, the rowing basin. I mean, I think that's where the mobsters used to dump bodies after the Olympics. Oh, maybe not. But it went fallow for a long time.
Yeah.
And the velodrome in Montreal, which is where they did the cycling, is now a butterfly and a plant terrarium, something or other.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at least it's something.
It's being used.
And you and I, with Boom that day, we did our walking tour of Montreal.
One of my favorite times.
And I walked you around the Olympic Stadium, and we could see, like, plants growing up in the gaps between the cement.
It was you could have used it for a movie of the dystopian or whatever
Clockwork
future
Orange
or whatever
could have done a rework on it
and
we don't have that here
a positive legacy.
I give it so much credit. I talk about when I first came to Calgary to visit and I was trying to decide whether to move here and so much of it was the people and that kind of spirit that impressed me about the city.
Right.
I knew it was a smaller place and I knew for an urban guy, maybe there'd be some sacrifices that way.
Right.
But what I always liked is the Calgary attitude about the Olympics. Let's do it.
Yep.
Let's do it. Let's not worry about all this other stuff. And that's, getting back to maybe the arena complex. I hope we don't spend so much time looking in the rearview mirror that we don't see what the future is for that development and what it can mean. And for Frank King and the people who had the dream of the Olympics, they weren't looking in the rearview mirror, Montreal is. No. They were about what we can do in Calgary. And that's what I'm saying about the arena complex, the football arena complex. Let's make it something that speaks about the city and about its future.
We'll go through Bruce's top 10. You can read it right now at our website, sportsnet960.ca. Let's catch up on a couple things. When we come back, we'll hear from Rich Winter, Mark Giordano's agent, his perspective on the deal that will keep the captain in Calgary for the next 6 years. And it is a real interesting conversation that Bruce performed just a little while ago. And a reminder, speaking of the Calgary Flames and speaking of Calgary next, the president of Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation, Ken King, in studio with yours truly tomorrow morning at 7. Part of our town halls we're going to do here, hopefully on Sportsnet 960 as we go through this process. Your opportunity to ask Ken questions about Calgary next. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. That is tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. We are anticipating an afternoon visit with Ken next week as well, so a different audience and different questions as we continue to look and ask, is Calgary next the vision that we want for our city? We also will be extending opportunities to people from the city to come on and do the same thing and answer your questions. Quite honestly, you should have your say in this. It is, after all, your city. We'll take a break when we come back. Rich Winter around the corner. Later on, Rob Volman from Hockey Abstract here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Covering Jays, Stamps, PGA, NFL, and more. If it's played in the summer, we talk about it. Proud to serve Calgary sports fans. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.